Thank you for downloading today's message. It is our prayer that this message will be a blessing to you and your family. And don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Take care.
If you were here the last couple of times I was here, amen, we started a series called Life Skills. Somebody say Life Skills. And so what that basically is some skills that you need in order to live life and to cause your life to be effective. Amen. How many of you know that God doesn't just want us to have a relationship with him, but he wants us to be able to have a relationship with each other? Amen. Amen. What good is our Christianity here if we don't like our brother here? Amen. Some people love Jesus, but they hate their cousin. Talk to me up in this place, in this holy house of the Lord. Hallelujah. I love Jesus, but can't stand my auntie. Amen. It don't work like that. I love Jesus, but hate the pastor. Amen. Hallelujah. As we learned at camp, the pastor prays faithfully for the church, and the church prays hopefully for the pastor. Amen. Hallelujah. What good is your Christianity if you love Jesus, but it don't reflect in your relationships at the job? Ain't nothing worse than a Christian who is talking scripture, but at the job, they're known as the meanest. Some of you, y'all ever meet somebody like that? Like, they talk a lot of Jesus, but when they talk English again, hallelujah, hallelujah, it's French. Sister Janet is in the building. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And what good is your Christianity if you love in Jesus, but you can't live at peace with your brothers and sisters? Come on, talk to me in this place. Come on, talk to me in this place. I don't want a whole lot of religion. I want relationship with the Lord. And I don't want to know how to look God. I want to be able to live God. There's a difference. There's a difference. People can look God, but it don't mean they know God. Amen, somebody. And so we talked about in the first week, we talked about the ability to communicate, the way we speak. Amen. And not only that, we talked about being teachable. Y'all remember that? Part of communication is not how much you say, it's how much you're able to listen. And God gave you two ears and one mouth. Some of you got two mouths and no ears. You talk more than you listen. Do me a favor, turn to your neighbor and tell them you don't know everything. Come on, you know you wanted to say that to that neighbor. This is your opportunity. Come on. I see the husbands and wives. Come on, look them dead in the face. This is your one chance you're going to get to say it and not get punched. Tell them you don't know everything. Tell them, as a matter of fact, you don't know nothing. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. It ain't that type of party today. The fact remains is that we don't know everything and that we got to learn to be teachable people. Right. Marriages fail because people want to say more than they listen. Yeah. Family relationships break up because people want to talk more than they want to listen. And people feel like just because they read a book or they saw Oprah, they know everything. Come on, talk to me in here. You don't know everything. And the Bible says this. We learned that time that the Bible says it is the wise man who loves correction. That if you teach a wise man, he will be quick to listen. Slow to speak, slow to anger. Some of us, we shoot first and ask later. I'm guilty. As soon as I hear the story, I go kill everybody and they say, why they dead? Why did I kill them? You got to find out the story first before you open your mouth. Amen. Then we moved on to that. We talk about another life skill that's good to have is that if you're going to live this life, you got to have a plan for your life. Amen. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. You know that old saying? That's not a Bible verse. You're like, where that in the Bible? It's not a Bible verse. It's a saying, but it's very true. If you don't have any plan for life, you've already arrived. Think about that for a second. If you don't know where you're going, you've reached. Because you don't have a plan, right? And we talked about having a plan, and then we talked about the fact that sometimes, I gave you the example when I was 20, 24 years old, my wife looked at me and she said, let's buy a house. And I looked at her and I said, ain't no way I'm going to be able at 24 to buy a house. And it wasn't until I went to the real estate office and the man said, you don't look like a buyer. You look like a renter. And when he said, I look like a renter, I said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine to tell me what I am? See, I had believed that in my head, but when he said it about me, it bothered me, because it's one thing for you to say it. It's another thing for me to believe it. And so I had to change my thinking. And I said, Sherry, no, nobody's going to define me. Only God does. I said, call every real estate agent, tell them what we're looking for, and tell them whatever money they ask, tell them we have it. Now, I know some of y'all thinking, Pastor, you know you was lying because you ain't had that money. I wasn't lying. I was faithing. The building you are in was bought off of faithing. My dad did not have a dime when he bought this building. Not a dime. We were living in a apartment 2G on right there in the building over there. Me and my brothers sharing bedrooms, and y'all know the apartment life. Come on, give God glory. And my father ain't got money to even buy a house to put us in. He come talk to the man, tell the man, I want to buy your building. The man said, I'm not selling. He come back in a year. A year later, he came back and told the man, I want to buy your building. The man said, you know what? I wasn't planning on selling. I think it's time to sell. And decided to sell him the building. And then when he told my dad, I'm going to sell you the building, my dad said, you are? Because now he realized, I don't have any money. And so he said, you know what? If you're crazy enough to sell me, I'm crazy enough to believe God will give me the money. And it wasn't up until the final days coming down to this that somebody called him and said, we are going to approve somebody who don't even have a congregation of more than maybe 20 people, a building that's going to cost thousands upon thousands of dollars. And God showed up in the final second. And here you are years later worshiping in a building, faithing. That's what I'm telling you. I'm going to buy Flushing Park. Not lying. Faithing. Amen. You know what? None of y'all ain't going to come back to Flushing Park when I buy it, because y'all look at me like y'all ain't believe. Not one of y'all be able to step foot in Flushing Park. Amen. Hallelujah. Except for Sister Janet, because she said, I believe. Amen. And so if you, when my wife told me that, it seemed like so hard to be able to buy a house at such a young age. And I've discovered some things along the way that helps me to achieve my goals. And that is, you don't shoot for the big goal. You shoot for small steps. And what happens after a while, when you take small steps, you begin to look back and you begin to realize that I'm much further than where I started and closer to my goal. And so some of you need to learn, if you are in debt, to make small goals on how you're going to get out. You don't need to buy 5 meals a day. Hallelujah. You in debt, you broke, and you talking about I'm going to Miami. Devil is a liar. You're going to go to Jones Beach. That's where you're going to go. Talk to me in this place. Amen. You can't live like Diddy, hallelujah, and your money look like Vanilla Ice when he went bankrupt. Y'all remember Vanilla? Never mind. All right. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You have to learn this word called sacrifice. Come on. How many of you are willing to sacrifice? And so if you are in debt, my question to you is you're not just going to jump out. What are you going to do today that's going to get you a step closer to get out? If your marriage is in trouble, what are you going to do? You're going to sit and fight every day? What are you going to do to figure out how do we fix this? Some of you are like, nah, we just going to fight, dog. I try. You don't know her. You understand. That worked for you and Sherry. Amen. Y'all got like an angel in your house. Amen. Our house ain't going to work like that. We just going to fight, dog. No. The devil is a liar. You take control of your situation. God has made you the head and not the tail. God has made you more than a conqueror. So why is it conquering you? Out of control living will always get you in trouble. Disciplined people will achieve a lot. People don't want to pay the price to be disciplined. Because discipline sometimes don't make sense to you. Like this week, I had a conversation with my kids. My Savannah was telling me in her school, she said, you know, Dad, I understand the rules or whatever. They make you cut your hair. But I don't understand why they make the guys, you know, in her high school, they make them shave. See, in my head, I'm like, why do they do that? I don't get it. But then I started to tell about the army. I said, you know, they do a lot of the same stuff in the army, and I'm sure people ask, well, how does this, how does shaving help me when I'm in the middle of a war? The fact is, it probably doesn't. It has nothing to do with that, but discipline sometimes doesn't make sense. It's just an order to see if you can obey. And when you want to challenge everything, hallelujah, you're going to have a problem. If you become your own boss, make sure you got a good company. Ooh, that was good. Because if you can't pay yourself, you need to start listening. Amen, somebody. Amen. And then we talked about things, life skills, to deal with problems that nobody ever tells you will happen. And one of those, I took me and my wife celebrated our anniversary, and we talked about what keeps our marriage together. And that is consistently forgiving. Why? Because in life, it is 100% guaranteed that every one of you will be hurt by somebody else. A family member will hurt you. A coworker will hurt you. A friend will hurt you. Your spouse will hurt you. A church member will hurt you. Somebody will do something to get on your nerves. Somebody is on your nerve right now. They sit in two rows. Point to them. Point. I'm joking. You. And the problem is that we've been to school all our lives, but nobody has ever taught us how to deal with hurt. I never went to Hurt 101. I never went to school and they say, your first period class is pain. But what affects talented people is bitterness. Some people can have all the talent and wisdom, but if they can't deal with pain, they can't go anywhere. Y'all ain't hearing me in this place. And so there's certain life skills we want to talk about. We talked about the fact that you're going to have to always forgive if you're going to live in this world. You don't have time to hold on. And, you know, some people specialize in carrying pain. Like they got a secret bag they just stash pain in. They could tell you who did what, the date, the time, where they were, and how it happened to them. Come on. Anybody know anybody like that? That's because you are the person. That's because you are the person. You know, you ever meet somebody like that? You know, I've met several people like that. They want to outpain you. You'd be like, they come to you and say, how you doing? And you'd be like, yo, man, I've been going through a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I could do a little bit more finances. This got some things coming up. I need. You think you're going through something? Let me tell you. And then they give you the list, and you just there like, dog, what, dog? You asked me how I was. If you just wanted to outpain me, you know, not running a race to see who got them. Because the goal is not to carry pain. Come on, somebody. And this ain't even what I want to preach about today, but let me help you. Some people find their identity in pain. I remember there was a brother. This is a funny story. Every time, I'll leave it alone. Some people like being in pain because their identity is in their pain. Some people don't want to come out of their pain because they benefit from their pain. Y'all understand what I'm saying by that? There was a brother who was getting help from the government for a sickness. And another brother asked him, why don't you ever go pray for healing? He said, because if I get healed, if I get made whole, I'm going to have to work. But I like the gig I got going. I benefit from my pain. So they choose to remain in pain and let the government determine their worth rather than come out of it. Some people feel like if I don't always express my pain, nobody will call me. Some people are so bad with it, it leaks. That people, when they see, I don't want to deal with them, there's drama. There's drama. Amen, hallelujah. Say amen.
Amen.
If you can't say amen, it's probably you. Amen. And right now you want to raise your hand and say, but Pastor, let me tell you my problem. Hey, listen, can I give you a harsh reality? Yeah. People do care. They really don't care. Because everybody got, who in here don't got an issue? Tristan, you raise your hand. Tristan, you've been giving me a hard time at camp all weekend long. Who in here don't got a problem? Everybody, and people will be living a while, man, that's tough. Yeah, man, praying for you, all right, dog. Because everybody got to go deal with theirs. You follow what I'm saying? And so you got to find a way to deal with your pain, your hurt, forgive, let go. I have constantly been forgiving my wife because she's always wrong. Woman is never right. Amen. Amen. Today what I want to talk to you about real quick is another life skill that you got to learn to deal with, that there was no class on this, but it's guaranteed to happen, and that is how to deal with change. Tell your neighbor, change is guaranteed. I'm not talking money now. Y'all like, hey, word. Tell your neighbor, change is guaranteed. How many of you know life does not stay the same? Come on, talk to me in this place. Years ago, I said in a song, I said, from the minute that you're born, your body starts to decay. Your skin and your hair will turn wrinkled and gray. From the time you are born, you start to change. You don't stay the same. As an infant, you run around, little boy, you're a toddler, you playing with Transformers, you ain't care about nothing. Then your body goes through changes, and the girl you never wanted to play with, she start looking cute. And now you got feelings. What's happening to me? Why do I like my friend? You go through changes. Then when you marry her, then when you marry her, hey, she crazy as ever. I'm joking. But then you go through changes. People, listen, your body will change. Let me tell you something, young people. The Bible says this. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes 3, verse number 1. Put it up for me. It says, to everything, everything there is a what? Season. There's a what?
Season.
And time for every activity under heaven. In other words, the Bible is trying to tell you that nothing stays the same. Everything is seasonal. It changes. It consistently changes. And time, this part here is very important for you to understand. Time is given for activities. But once that time is up, it's up. And what people think is that the deception into them is that a seasonal moment they think is life. So they make decisions based on moments and seasons, not knowing that life is not a moment, but a whole continuous cycle and a journey that is consistently changing. So young people, you got to have more, you know, you young and fly. I see you, dog. You're young and fly, but one day will come, you're going to look in the mirror, and there's going to be a line in your face. When you smile, you're going to be like, that line ain't going away. Where'd that come from? I knew myself. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Y'all hear what I'm saying? And you're going to go buy a cream that promises you that when you rub it on that line, it'll disappear. And you're going to rub that cream. For 6 years now, you've been rubbing that joint. And it's lines galore. You got God. You're going to wake up one day, and all you skinny brothers, shout out to the skinny brothers in here, who could eat 6 meals a day. I see you. One day, your body's going to say, metabolism checked out. And stuff just going to start showing up. Oh.
That's true.
Amen, somebody. You're going to need a mint too. Amen. Anybody know talk about your body will change. It doesn't stay the same. You're going to look in the mirror, all that flyness. So all you young ladies who fly now, all you young boys who fly, the Bible says vanity is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, hallelujah, she shall be praised. Amen. Same, you got to know that your value is not in what you look like, because that season will come to an end. And you know, you walked into the room, you was bad when you was young. You're going to walk into the room and they're going to be like, you just need to leave the room with your old self. You just need to get off Instagram, stop taking them photos. We know that's a lot of filtration going on. You don't look like that little doggy filter you keep putting on your face. Your real nose is not even... Nothing stays the same. You got to be able to, you know, there's people that get depressed when they get old. They don't know how to deal with that. Boy, I could go off on that right there. Some people start, certain things start happening. They're like, oh God, I'm getting old. I didn't realize I was old. I thought I was young forever. Jay-Z tricked me. I was walking around saying, forever young. I want to be. I'm mad old. You know how I discover I was old? Your kids make you realize you old. I hang out with Brother Trav and Denzel. I tell them my jokes. They laugh like it's hysterically funny, especially Trav. Trav make me feel like I'm the most funniest guy. I tell the same jokes to my kids, and they like, yo, you're such a cornball. I'm like, wait a minute. I was never supposed to be the dad dude. You calling these dad jokes? These are highly requested jokes. These are Dave Chappelle level jokes. I know y'all clapping for Dave and not me, so I get it. I'd be having Dave Chappelle money if I had Dave Chappelle jokes. But you know, and I had to come to grips that you're not young forever. There's a season for everything. Some people want to be young forever. There's a time you got to take your responsibility. And some people come to me and they say, Pastor, they got four kids, they got a wife, they got a family, they got, you know, stuff to take care of. And they talk about, Pastor, I just don't know what to do with my life. I'm just praying that the Lord reveals to me what to do with your life. Can you pray for me? And I go, I can tell you right now. What is it? See them kids? You get a J-O-B and you fee E-E-D. Them. See, sometimes change happens naturally in some things you can't control. But sometimes you make bad decisions and you cause change that you're not ready for. And if you're not ready for a change, and you know you have certain dreams, then you gotta have guardrails to secure where you're going. And if you don't have discipline and you allow anything in your life, you can't then wanna say, what do I do with my life? Will you do it? You see them children? Go buy a pack of Pampers. That's what you do. Pastor, that's harsh. No, that's reality. Ain't nobody asked to be born. Amen in this place. Some of y'all dreams bigger than where you currently are. Let me help you out, somebody. You know, people used to come to me and be like, Pastor, I want to be like you. How did you go full-time music and bought your first house at 24 on music money and all? How were you able to do all of that? I said, no mystery. I stayed working a job as a teacher. And when music began to make money, then I quit. People talk about, no, you stepped out on faith. Come on, man of God, tell them the truth. You stepped out on faith. I tell them, no. I never stepped out on faith. I was living by faith all the time. There's never a moment. See, and that statement indicates that you think your job is not by faith. Y'all hearing me in this place? If you think that stepping out on faith is when you just quit your job and be a rogue ninja, talk about the Lord will supply. That's not faith. That's not smart. I want you to know that you're living by faith even with the job you currently have. You don't believe me? Dr. Miles Monroe used to say, God lives in the Bahamas. He visits the rest of the world. Bahamas is a beautiful place. I had a wonderful time visiting there in my past. But as beautiful as it is, change hit the Bahamas this week. And people, you start hearing stories of them sitting on a door as water is rising and pushing them to the roof. Them not having an axe to even break out the roof, praying, God, don't let this rise another 12 inch or I am dead. And now people are not even concerned if they got a house or not. They're just grateful that I'm alive. Because you know why? They have realized something that most of us don't ever learn. That you can replace a house and a car and you can replace anything. But you see, once life is gone, there's no opportunity to change it. And everybody in this room, if you got breath in your lungs, your situation is seasonal. It doesn't have to be your forever. It can change. But life is constantly changing. And the Bible says everything is a season. And so how do you deal with, here's the reality, right? Do y'all know that death has never, ever, somebody corrected me this morning, said one time it did. But you know, other than Jesus, death has never lost. You know, the mortality rate is 100%. You know, everybody will die, right? Y'all do know you're going to die, right? Like, yeah, but we don't want to talk about it. Everybody will die. Here's the thing. You will lose loved ones. How do you deal with, I was about 19, 20 years old. Dad was strong and kicking and running this church and doing his thing, just like you see me today. Preaching up a storm one Sunday afternoon, went home, died. Next morning, dead. 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 Death don't announce when it's coming. Tragedy don't say it. Listen, I wish life worked like this, that you could just wake up and plan the perfect life. Don't you wish you could be like, oh, I'm going to go to this school. I'm going to go to this college. I'm going to get this job. Be making this amount of money. I'm going to marry this person. They're going to look this way forever. I'm going to look this way forever. And then I'm going to have some children. They're going to be all wonderful and listen to me. They're going to have just the right teeth. Hey, people do a lot of bug stuff. They're going to have the right, all of their attitudes. They'll just wear suits and bow ties. They'll come to dinner and actually sit and eat. They'll grow up and all be scholars. We're just going to have a great big mansion. Just live this dream life. Life don't go like that. You know how life go? You plan to go to that school? Then you get rejected. Then you got to go to the community school. Then you go to the community school. They tell you, of all the people that qualify to go to the community school, you don't got the money. Then you drop out of that school and you get a whatever. Then you finally meet somebody you think you want to marry and it's your dream girl. And then you find out that ain't your dream at all. Then when you do get kids, they all, hallelujah. I wish life went the way you planned. It is not going to go that way. You have to learn how to deal with change. Let's go to the word of God. Amen. Here's some things I want you to see today. First, in Ecclesiastes, it says that life is guaranteed to bring you change. Here's the thing. We often fear change because change reminds us that we're not in control. Whenever change hits, whenever death hits, whenever your finances get threatened, whenever your home gets threatened, whenever your life gets threatened, it's that moment that you begin to worry. You know why you're worrying? Because there ain't a thing you can do about it. Anybody ever been there in a situation where it hits you and you have no control over it but to sit there and panic? Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. I want you to know this. Listen to this carefully. You cannot want change but remain the same. Put up Exodus 16:3. Look at this. The children of Israel were in slavery. Somebody say slavery. Slavery. They cried out to God. God saw Moses and called him to the burning bush and said, Moses, I want you to go back and tell the children of Israel, I have heard their cries that they want slavery to end. Who cried out? The children. They wanted what? They wanted it to come to an end. They asked God to change their life. We don't like my life. How many of you right now would say, God, I don't really like everything about my life. I need some change. Come on. Hallelujah. So they prayed just like you, and they said, we want change. Well, God sent Moses, delivered them. Here they are in the wilderness, and this is what they said. If only the Lord had killed us back in, they moaned. There we sat around pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. But now you have brought us into the wilderness to do what? Starve us. In other words, they asked God for change and they asked God to bring them to a different place, but their mind was still in a place of slavery. And you cannot ask God for change if you are not willing to change yourself. Oh, let me make that more practical. Don't ask God to get married if all you want to do is live with a single mentality. If you don't like having to share your life and talk to people and having to answer questions and go through all of that and discussing, if you're the type of person that like to have a side bank account and hide your money and hide everything, hide your kids, hide your, amen, then you ain't ready for marriage. If you're the type of person that feels like, I just want to get up and go and I go and just be alone at my marriage, when you get married, hallelujah. Alone? Forget it. When you get kids too, tell your little 2-year-old, I need some alone time. You're like, alone time, bro, come on. And some people ask God, God, I need to get married, but you want to think single. And you bring a single mentality into a married house, it's not going to work. Some people pray and say, God, increase my finances. But you bring a $10 mentality to $1,000. If you're going to ask God for change, it's not the situation that needs to change. Guess what really needs to change? You. Come on, talk to me in this place. And oftentimes people are requesting for God to change their situation, and God is up in heaven saying, real talk, a situation ain't nothing for me to change. The problem is not the situation. The problem is you. I can't give you that responsibility because you'll destroy it in 2 months. And too many people are trying to get their life to change, but they're not willing to change. They're not willing to be people who forgive and let go and people who become disciplined and go through what is necessary to really be successful. But they want, when you hear their dreams, oh, it's amazing. But ask them to wake up on time. I was telling earlier service, there's people who are saying, God, I need you. God, you know, if you hook me up, I'll do this and I'll do that. And God is like, but you don't wake up on time to go to work. Your late record, you on the verge of getting fired. You the type of person that your alarm go off and everybody in the house wake up except you. Come on, if that ain't, come on. Anybody know somebody like that? Don't say amen too loud. I mean, they learn how to sleep with the alarm. Everybody's like, bro, I don't gotta work today. Why am I waking up for your alarm? Don't ask God for nothing that you're not willing to change for. They ask God for freedom, and God says, freedom just don't drop like that. You're gonna have to go through a journey. And once they got in the middle of the journey, you know what they said? It's a little too hard to wake up. How are you going to wake up to be an entrepreneur if you can't even wake up to go to somebody else's job? Right. Like, but that's the point, man. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm going to take many days off, and you're going to be many days broke. Yep. Anybody who ever worked for themselves will tell you that's harder than when you work for somebody else. Why is that? Because if you don't work, you don't even start the business to be able to see an income. Y'all ain't hear what I'm saying in this place? Don't ever let your dream be so big that your sacrifice don't match it. Let's tell that again to somebody. Let your sacrifice be equivalent to what you're dreaming. Hear what I'm saying in this place? Now, let me tell you how that messes up Christian people. People come to God, they give their heart to Jesus, and they say, I want to experience all of you, but you want to live the same way in the world. You can't experience God if you're still stuck in the world. You can't come to church and lift holy hands and on Friday twerk unsaved behind. Hallelujah. Was that too much? I still preach next week? How, Sway? How? You understand what I'm saying? You can't. God is a holy God. You want to live anyhow and then say, God, let me experience you. How? You will never experience the fullness of God if you keep holding on to the world. God moves. Everything in Christianity is by faith. God says when you lose, you gain. The world tells you when you gain, you gain. God tells you any man who wants must first deny himself. You know how many people don't even have that in them? You just watch anything on TV. Just watch. He's a pastor, that type of message. No, I'm not telling you. You can watch whatever you want, but know that all things that you watch are not beneficial. And then when you have certain thoughts in your head and you're like, man, how am I struggling with pornography? Because the show was so good that you overlooked the pornographic part. Right. Say nothing to me in this Pentecostal church. Then when you're struggling in your mind, you want to know why. Not everything is beneficial. See, you can live without certain Netflix shows. As a matter of fact, and I always say this, if you want to know why your life is not going nowhere, and you feel like I have no time to do nothing, but you could tell me you watch 8 seasons. Don't ever ask me why you got no time. If you watch 8, I'll give you 2. But everybody know what I'm talking about? Now I'm not trying to knock it. Of course, you got to have entertainment in your life, but you can't have only enter. You have to be a disciplined person. If you want something done, you got to put things in your life that you know is going to get me there. And you can't have a mentality in one place but desire to reach the next place. That's why the Bible says, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed. What? Not by the renewing of how you look as a Christian or how you shout in church or your church attendance. None of that really matters if your mind doesn't change. Your mind got to change about the thing before it can be successful.
I don't know. I don't know if my baby daddy, he's Satan. My baby father is Satan.
All right, you had Satan's child, so don't. That's why the kid bad. Until he stopped being Satan to you. Don't speak to the situation in the what it is. Speak to it better. That's one thing about me and my wife. We don't call out. So, you know, well, in the heat of the moment, we might. You're a terrible person. I don't know why I marry you. I've never said that. She's never said that. We speak to each other differently. My wife would come to me and tell me, you know, you could. You're like Steven Spielberg, you know. My wife will gas me up. I'll jump off a building when she's done. Only realize this lady lied. But she never speaks and tears me down. We don't never speak to our situation as to what our situation is dictating. Listen, in this room right now, there's a certain temperature in here. But there's one thing in this room that can change that temperature. It don't matter what's happening outside. There's one thing in this room that it don't matter how hot or cold it is outside. It says what is outside don't affect what's on the inside. And that's the thermostat up in the corner. I regulate that. It could be 100 degrees outside. It'll say we'll make it 60 in here. It could be 20 degrees outside. It'll say we'll make it 70 in here. And we've got to learn to live like that. That nothing outside controls us, but what's inside determines outside. Follow what I'm saying? I'm almost done. You can't want change with the same mentality as before. Look at Proverbs 6:6. Look at this. Proverbs 6:6. The Bible says, take a lesson from the ants. It says, you lazy bones. In another version, it says, you sluggard. Come on, tell your neighbor, don't be a sluggard. Don't be lazy. You do everything everybody else does, you'll get what everybody else got. Let me tell you something. Young people in here, young ladies, you want your life to go good? If somebody said this years ago and it stuck with me forever. Listen to me, young ladies. If you just be a regular rock on the street, you're going to get treated like a regular rock. What do you mean? People pass and kick rock. They pick them. They throw them everywhere. Nobody ever pick up a rock and say, you know what? This rock is so fly, I'm going to put it on my ring. The ones they put on the ring, men have to search and risk their lives to get it. And it is not produced just like every other rock. It is produced in extreme pressure and heat. And when it is able to endure that, it turns into a diamond. So when a man finds a diamond, he don't kick a diamond. And a diamond, sometimes when you go to them jewelry, they be like, this diamond knows a lot of money. You ever pick up a diamond and that diamond looking back at you like, ha ha. A diamond is valuable. And ladies, you got to know your worth. You can't let every rapper, when they sing a song, tell you this is what you, and you following the program of what they say a woman should be. You doing what they say, you're going to get the attention they give. Hey, y'all know y'all want to marry them guys. That ain't them. Hallelujah. Tell you what I'm saying? Young men, it's the same thing. You got to know your worth. You got to know that you're a king's kid and you can't treat yourself like a, you got to change. You got to make up your mind that I'm better than what the world says I am. I'm better than my past. I'm better than my family's history. I'm better than whatever I've come from. I am a child of the King. Amen. Change. But if you ain't willing to make that sacrifice, then don't be expecting nothing different. Look, he said, go to the ants and take a lesson from the ant, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. And here's what he tells you about the ant. They have no prince or governor. In other words, nobody tells them how to live. Yet, they don't have a ruler to make them work, but yet, dude, look what they do. Go to 8. They labor hard all what? Gathering food for the? An ant knows life is going to change. An ant knows there's a tomorrow. And an ant doesn't live. He don't floss his, he don't live why. He lives with prepper. He's leaving an inheritance. The ant is like, I don't even know if when Rich passed by, if he gonna step on me and kill me. But my son gotta live. He's storing up for the winter because he's leaving something for his children, even if he's not there. Y'all understand that? The Bible says, go to the ant, consider his ways, and you will be wise. Even an ant knows life changes, and he prepares for change. He don't wait till the change occur to say, what do I do here? It's not if change will come. It's when. There's going to be times your finances will be threatened, for sure. You don't know how much money I got? I don't care. One storm wiped out it. One bad decision between governments could crash that stock market any day. Next year, a whole 401k and A and B and C will say, all your retirement gone. All your Roth will become rotten. You think it's a game? It's not if, it's when. Somebody will die in your life close to you. It's not if. It amazes me how Christian people, when people die, and they're like, why did God let this? You're going to die too, but that's probably not sensitive to tell you now. One man came to Jesus. Listen to this story. They said to Jesus, apparently something tragic had happened in one of the communities. They said, how could this tragedy happen? You know how people say, God, how could you let people die in the tragedy? How could you let this happen? Jesus said, let me tell y'all something. Whether you die in a hurricane or a tornado or you die in an earthquake or you die of old age or you die young or you die in between, you're gonna die. It's not how you die, but ask yourself, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Is it better if they didn't die in a tragedy? Would the death be better? Now we could go philosophically, well, I'd have them for more time to an eternal God. This thing get crazy. God says you better worry about what you really need to worry about. Be prepared. It's not if change will come. It's when. It's when. And somebody says, well, Pastor, you leaving me hopeless, man. Now I'm going home and look at Aunt all day. How do I stay confident in a world that changes? I close with this. Put up Deuteronomy chapter 31, and I'm going to tell you a verse. Moses is getting ready to die. Moses was the one that brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. All they had ever known was Moses. Moses came in like a bad boy, said to Pharaoh, let my people go. Pharaoh said, who are you? He said, see this stick right here? Rah! Pharaoh said, we got two sticks too. Rah! Moses' stick said, rah! Ate up his stick, picked the stick back up and said, my stick win. Let the people go. Pharaoh said, now you're going to have to do more than that. Turn the water blood. All the plagues from VBS happened. Right? And then eventually, Pharaoh said, let him go. All they knew was Moses. All they knew was Moses. Moses, the one leading them, follow me. They follow Moses. They get to the Red Sea. Pharaoh's coming to kill them. They said, Moses, what are we going to do? Moses, God said, stretch forth your rod. He stretched forth. God parted the Red Sea. They follow Moses. All they know is Moses. They go into the wilderness. They hungry. He said, Moses, we hungry. Moses said, God rained down manna. Food fell from heaven. They said, we don't got clothes. God caused their clothes to be shut. All they know is Moses. Now Moses is getting ready to die. Change is coming. And Moses said, I want y'all to not be scared. Verse 6 is what he says. 31 verse 6. Put it in the NIV, right, if you got it. This is what he said. Moses getting ready to die. He said, I want y'all to be strong. No matter what happens in your life, if you know this one thing, you could be strong. But if you don't know it, you're going to be in trouble. And courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them being the people that they were going to fight. For the Lord, here's why you can be confident in every season of your life. See, if this ain't present in your life, you on your own. But if changes come, people pass away, people hurt you, people walked out on you, you got a decision to make tomorrow. You don't know how to fix what you're going through right now. God says without compromise, he says loudly, you can be strong and courageous. Why? Because the Lord, your God, is with you. You see, when God is with you, it don't matter what situation you're in. Because he's the type of God that changes the circumstance. And then he said this, And let me tell you, this is true. This is true. I was 7 years old when I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus. My father was preaching up a storm. I didn't know what he was talking about. I just felt convicted in my heart as a seven-year-old that you want to serve Jesus. At age 10, I took my life back from the Lord. Age 12, got convicted again, gave it to him. Around 16, I took my life back because you need your life in your teenage years. Wild out around 19, gave it back to the Lord. I kept giving it and taking it away. And then something dawned on me that it wasn't me giving and taking my life. You see, I might leave, I might run, but on the other end of the relationship, this is what God says: I will never. Who am I talking to in this place? I will never leave you nor forsake you. God keeps his promises to you not based on how good you are. He keeps his promises because he's given you his word. We serve a good God. Hallelujah. That excites me because you know what? It tells me that, you know, when I read other scriptures, I can see why other people were excited. That's why David could speak the way he spoke. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." He's walking through the valley of death, and he said, but guess what? If you check on the inside, I fear no evil. You know why? I know that he is with me. His rod and his staff comfort me. I could be happy in the middle of my haters. You know why? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Oh, come on, talk to me in this place. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. He said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me one day, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. He said, no, I'm the type of God that even if you, oh my gosh, I'm following you. I'm following you. I'm following you all the days of your life. You know why I could face tomorrow? Because God is already there. It don't matter what you bring up against me, bring it on. Hallelujah. You live different when you know you got Big Brother with you. Anybody ever had to bring Big Brother to us? Oh, come on, talk to me. There was a brother in Hillcrest High School. His name was Shalon. And Shalon was a Trinidadian, and he mad as ever. But we like him because he mad. He had a twin, and the two, one went to Jamaica, one went to Hillcrest, and you didn't know who was who. Some of y'all are like, wow. And he was my brethren. Now, Brother Rich is a little bit vertically challenged. But mouth big. So that combination don't work out for you when you talk a lot. And you ain't the biggest dude on the block. Y'all see where I'm going with this. So oftentimes there would be challenges. After school. And I would be asking one question. Where shall I end up, boy? You might come to school today. God don't let you come today. Let today be a day you wanted to get educated. And when he wasn't there, you dipped out sixth period. But when he showed up and Big Brother was next to you, me said that. Who? You move different when Big Brother next to you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, but let me tell you, you got a God who says, I will never leave you. A God who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You moving like he ain't with you. You ought to change your perspective and say, God, it doesn't matter what tomorrow brings. It matters if when I look by my right side, you ain't with me. That's when you're in trouble. But when you look over your shoulders and you see a God who says, hey, bro, be courageous. Be strong. Do it like I told you to do it. Move like I'm with you. You move different. Move different. But if I were to be honest, many people just want him to move with him. I promise you, as crazy as my friend was, if I told him they got guns and they're going to shoot us up, but come with me, he would have said, you're dead today. Because I can't fight bullets. Let me make this distinction because people love to say, God with me. God got me. God don't go everywhere. God is going to stop and tell you. This is where you got to embrace change. Because what you're asking me to do in your life, that environment you're taking me in is part of the problem. The voices that you connected to, the material you read, the people you let speak to you, you're going to have to let go. But what do I listen to? Me. My voice. My sheep know my voice. And a stranger they don't follow. And that's where change becomes difficult. But there's a saying we always say, right, Denzel? Change ain't change until you change. Life will change. But it's not, the problem is not life. The problem is you. Are you willing to serve the consistent God who teaches you how to change with it? He said, I'll never leave you. You hear that, Val? He said, I'll never leave you. Y'all hear that? You hear that, Stacy? He said, I'll never leave you. You hear that, Jamel? How many times we left him? I know my time is up. It was an old couple, right? I'm picking on you today. I'll tell you the story. You too young for them couple thing. Dejean, you know you ready. Ah. When they were young and dating, girl used to scoot over, go under his arm. They driving and hugging. Years later, they got married. She's sitting there holding on to the side of the car. So she turned and said, how come we don't got that spice? How come you don't hug me like you used to when we were dating? That's what she said, Uncle Azzy. She said to the man, how come we don't have that spice? The man turned and said, I'm still in the same place I was when we first dated. You're the one that moved. And as funny as that is, God is always and will always be right there. The further you go is the harder it is to hear him. But the closer you are, you'll be in a good place. Come on, y'all. Embrace change. Make up your mind what you're going to do different to prepare you for when life does change. It don't affect you because you got something on the inside working on the outside. I don't look like what's happening. I don't even react like what's happening. I'm shouting all the way. I'm giving glory all the way. Come on, somebody in this house. I can rejoice in my trials. I can do like the Apostle Paul. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. For it's working something in me. Hallelujah. It's teaching me how to love him. It's teaching me patience. And when patience have it, perfect work. Hallelujah. Oh God, I can be like David. If I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I ain't scared of your devil. I ain't scared of no evil, for you are with me, hallelujah. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me, hallelujah. Hallelujah, I can be like Joseph, hallelujah. I can go into a pit, hallelujah. My brothers just beat me up, hallelujah. I just been accused of committing a crime I never did, hallelujah. I'm in a jail cell, hallelujah. I'm in a palace, hallelujah. I don't know why all this happened, but I know one thing. What you meant for evil, hallelujah,
God is able to turn it around for good. What you meant to kill me was meant to give life. What you meant to destroy me was meant to build up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I can say like Daniel, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'll pray anywhere I go. I don't care what the culture says. I'll declare that he's my God. Even if they put me in a lion's den, my God is able to shut the mouth of every lion around me. Who am I talking to in this place? Hallelujah. The Bible says there were three Hebrew boys who said, let me tell you something, King. Our God is able to deliver. There is no doubt if our God is able to deliver. We don't even doubt that he's with us. Hallelujah. But just in case he chooses not to deliver, let's make this plain to you. We still will not bow to your idol. Our God is able, but we will not bow. And the Bible says they were thrown into the fire. But in the midst of the fire, Big Brother showed up. Oh, God. Big Brother kept them from being burned. Big Brother kept them from being harmed. The men who threw them in died. But the men who were in, hallelujah, was living victorious. The king said, didn't we throw three men? Now I see a fourth. And the fourth look like the Son of God. I want you to know that Jesus is with you. The King is with you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody lift your hands to heaven. Begin to worship him in this place. Begin to say, Father, I'm ready for change. Change my mind. Change my friendships. Change my location. Change everything about me. I want different. Make me the head and not the tail. I'm willing to sacrifice. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I'm willing to sacrifice. I'm willing to give it my all. Even if it means that I got to be lonely at times. Even if it means I got to go through a wilderness. It might seem like God, the promised place. I want you to know that not one of them Israelites made it to the promised land. Because of their mindset. You know who made it? Their children. You don't want that to be said of you. You don't want to be the person who's all talking about change gonna come, but it never got there. Life will change. But if you don't change, life will rock you. Lift your hands to heaven all over this place. These are your people. These are your people. And when I searched that whole Bible, there was never a time you weren't in love with Israel. Even when you had to correct them, your correction was because you loved them. Even when you had to let them go through hard times, it was only because you loved them. And you tried to show them who you were. When Israel turned their back on you, Father, you still were their God. And you kept your word. And you brought Jesus, the Redeemer of all mankind. And Father, your promise now to us is that whosoever believes in him shall never perish, but have life everlasting. I thank you that your promises are guaranteed because of who you are. And we lay hold of that. I pray for anybody hurting today. If you've never asked Christ into your heart, you want to do that today. Pray with me. Say, Father God, I ask you to come into my heart and forgive me of every sin. I want to change and I want to embrace you, but I need your strength. And I heard the preacher say, you promise never to leave or forsake me. Father.